Here's a quiz. Question number one. By the way, I'm going to give you a question. I think it's easy just all by itself. But I'll give you a clue with each question. Guaranteed to get 100%. Guaranteed. Question number one. What is man's primary responsibility toward God? Here's your clue. Which is the greatest commandment? Love Him. Greatest responsibility, our primary responsibility, is to love God. As Paul would write in 1 Corinthians 13, about a number of different activities, such as giving his body to be burned and speaking and so forth, if he didn't do it in love, it was worthless. Any Christian activity that is not done out of a love for God is worthless. Okay, question number one, you got right. Very good. Anyone miss that one? I didn't think so. Question number two. How are we able to love God? And here's your clue. We love Him because He... It's like you people read your Bibles or something. He first loved us. If God hadn't loved us first, we'd all be going our own separate ways. Because Paul wrote in Romans, there's none that seeks after God. We're just self-centered because of sin. Question number three. How should we demonstrate our love for God? And your clue is this. Jesus said, if you love me, keep... I think you cheated. I think you got the answers to this before I even made them up. But yes. You have it written on your name. That is the preeminent way of showing our love for God, by being obedient to His will for us. Did God love the nation of Israel? Did God love the nation of Israel before Israel loved God? The question that we're going to look at tonight is, did Israel keep His commandments? Now, to answer the first question, did God love Israel? Moses told the Israelites this, the Lord did not choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because He would keep the oath which He had sworn unto your fathers. God demonstrated His love to Israel before they loved Him. The evidence of God's love for Israel is that He was obedient to His own commandments. He made a pact, a covenant with Abraham, and He said, no matter what, I am going to keep this covenant. The things that God requires of us, He Himself does in relationship to us. Now the question, last one, did Israel obey His commandments? That's what we want to look at tonight. Turn in your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 20. And it came to pass in the seventh year, in the fifth month, the tenth day of the month, that certain of the elders came to inquire of the Lord and sat before me. Then came the word of the Lord unto me, saying, Son of man, speak unto the elders of Israel, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Are you come to inquire of me? As I live, saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired by you. Let me rephrase this, amplify this, update this, if you will. Who do you guys think that you are? Where do you get off? What kind of nerve do you have that you're coming to me and the asking of me or inquiring of me is not for knowledge, it's for blessing? God, what are you going to do for us here? And we need you to do something. After all, we're worthy. Now, that's obviously amplified a whole ton. But that's the sense of it. And God says, you're wasting your time, folks. And then he says to Ezekiel, wilt thou judge them, son of man? Wilt thou judge them? Cause them to know the abominations of their fathers. And Ezekiel is going to give the nation of Israel a little history lesson. And what he's going to do is share with them how God loved them in time past, and then how they responded to his love. Verse 5. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, in the day when I chose Israel, and lifted up my hand unto the seed of the house of Jacob, and made myself known unto them in the land of Egypt, when I lifted up my hand unto them, saying, I am the Lord your God, in the day that I lifted up my hand unto them to bring them forth to the of the land of Egypt into a land that I had espied for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all the lands. Then I said unto them, cast ye away every man the abomination of his eyes, and defile not yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Here are the people down in Egypt. Why were they in Egypt? Well, let's go back a little bit. There was a famine in the land of Abraham's dwelling. They didn't have food. And so they found out that the Egyptians had food. And you remember the story, I shouldn't say Abraham, Jacob sent his sons down, go get some food. And there was this second in command down there that they didn't recognize. And he said, well, bring everybody down here, including your dad. I'll give you food. We're talking about Joseph. And so they all went down, which was not a problem. Except they stayed there. They should have gone back to the land that God gave them. Well, how did Joseph get down there? Well, back up some more. His brothers hated him, sold him into slavery. Well, and you might say, well, God was working out all this to show his great power and salvation, which evidently he did. But could have God done that some other way if they had been obedient? To here's the land that I'm giving you, stay there, dwell in it. I think they could have. So did Israel deserve from God liberation? And the answer is, no, not really. But God was going to do that. Why? Because he loved them. And he said, I've made a covenant with your father Abraham, and I intend to keep it. So here's the deal, guys. Cast ye away every man the abomination of his eyes. Defile not yourselves with the idols of Egypt, and I'll bring you out. What did they do? Let me put this up here. Keep track of them. God chose to provide salvation from Egypt. There's a demonstration of his love, number one. What did they do? Verse 8. But they rebelled against me, and would not hearken unto me. They did not every man cast away the abomination of their eyes, neither did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. Hey, I've given these guys a good gift. They didn't even say thank you. Much less respond in obedience to my commands for them. They are deserving of judgment. Verse 9. But I wrought for my name's sake that it should not be polluted before the heathen among whom they were. in whose sight I made myself known unto them in bringing them forth out of the land of Egypt. So, God says, you know what? I won't do it. I have a right to get rid of them, but not now. Let me pour a little bit more love upon them. Verse 10. Wherefore I caused them to go forth out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness. And I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live therein. Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctify them. He delivered them from Egypt, and he gave them statutes to live by. When people think of the commandments of God, how do most people think about them? As burdens to bear. Oh, God's limiting my freedom. Oh, God's making life rough for me. This is tough. Who can do this? God's a killjoy. All the things that we talked about, why people don't love God. But notice what it says in verse 11. Which if a man do, he shall even live in them. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and life more. That's not question number four, but you got that. That's extra credit. Life more abundantly. Life at its fullest is found in the will of God, being obedient to his commands. They're not burdensome. They're liberating. They keep you from sin. So I gave them these things that they could enjoy life to the max. How did they respond? Verse 13. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walked not in my statutes, and they despised my judgments, which, if a man do, he shall even live in them. And my Sabbaths they greatly polluted. Then said I would pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness to consume them. They were deserving of judgment, weren't they? Even more so. And God added more love. But I wrought for my name's sake that it should not be polluted before the heathen in whose sight I brought them out. I don't want the unsaved of this world to think that I'm a God that hates and not loves his own people. Yet also I lifted up my hand unto them in the wilderness, that I would not bring them into the land which I had given them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands, because they despised my judgment, and walked not in my statutes, but polluted my Sabbath, for their heart went after idols. God said to the generation that Moses brought out, you're not going to make it. I brought you to Kadesh Barnea. He sent the spies into the land, which I don't know that they necessarily had to do. Not that it was wrong, per se, but God said, I'm giving it to you. But they sent spies. And 10 of the spies come back and said, we can't do it. Which, in effect, is saying, God can't do it. And they decided that they weren't going to be obedient. God says, okay. You won't go in, but I'll give the next generation another chance. And they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness until all that first generation died off. And now there's a new generation that comes along. Verse 18. Or 17. Where did I end up? I don't know. But I said unto their children in the wilderness, walk ye not in the statutes of your father, neither observe their judgments, nor defile yourselves with their idols. I am the Lord your God. Walk in my statutes, and keep my judgments, and do them. And how did they do? And hallow my Sabbath, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. Notwithstanding, the children learned their lesson from their parents and obeyed God. Oh, wait. The children rebelled against me. They walked not in my statutes, neither kept my judgments to do them, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. They polluted my Sabbath. Then I said, I would pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the wilderness. Nevertheless, I withdrew my hand and wrought for my name's sake that it should not be polluted in the sight of the heathen in whose sight I brought them forth. I should have wiped them out another time. But I made a covenant with Abraham because I loved him. And I was going to keep my covenant. And so, I need to pour out a little bit more love on them. Verse 23. I lifted up my hand unto them also in the wilderness, that I would scatter them among the heathen and disperse them through the countries, because they had not executed my judgments, but had despised my statutes and had polluted my Sabbaths, and their eyes were after their father's idols. I warned them of the consequence of their disobedience, which would be dispersion among the nations of the world. And ultimately, in the context of Ezekiel, we're talking about the Babylonian captivity. Deuteronomy 29, if you don't obey, I'll take you out of here. We look at warnings and we say, oh, that's an angry God that would give us warnings. Just about everyone here is a parent. And if not, you're a child. Everyone's been a child. So we'll go from that aspect. If a parent says to you, hey, kid, get out of the street. That's a warning. Why would a parent say that? Because they love you. I think this is a fact of God's love for Israel. Look, guys, I told you this is what's going to happen. Take heed. It's not I'll stand back and tough beans if they don't obey. He's warning them. Verse 25. Wherefore I gave them also statutes that were not good and judgments whereby they should not live. Wait a minute. Hold the bus. That doesn't sound like God. What he is saying here is this. I gave them unto these things. I let them go. Paul talks about this in Romans chapter 1. One of these days, someone's going to have to teach through the book of Romans. Wherefore, God gave them up to a reprobate mind, Paul says in Romans chapter 1. That's the idea here. Okay, guys, if you're not going to listen to me, how many times do I have to tell you? I'll allow you to find out for yourself how stupid you are. Basically, that's it. Verse 26. And I polluted them in their own gifts, in that they caused to pass through the fire all that openeth the womb, that I might take them, make them desolate to the end, that they might know that I am the Lord. If you guys are going to do this, see what joy it brings you. Here's your kid, your firstborn, and you are going to sacrifice them in a fire to a heathen god. I don't understand how any parent could do that. Wait a minute. I still don't understand. But a lot of parents today are sacrificing before they're even born. That's just commonplace. Verse 27. Therefore, son of man, speak unto the house of Israel and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, yet in this your fathers have blasphemed me, in that they have committed a trespass against me. For when I had brought them into the land for which I had lifted up my hand to give it to them, then they saw every high hill and all the thick trees, and they offered there their sacrifices, There they presented the provocation of their offering. There also they made their sweet savor and poured out there their drink offerings. Then I said unto them, what is the high place whereunto you go? And the name thereof is called Bama unto this day. Wherefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, you are polluted after the manner of your fathers, and commit you whoredom after their abominations. When you offer your gifts, when you make your sons to pass through the fire, you pollute yourself with all your idols, even unto this day. And shall I be inquired by you, O house of Israel? As I live, saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired of you. Forget it, guys. I've given you chance after chance after chance after chance after chance to repent and to love me. Now you are going to suffer the consequences of your disobedience. Verse 32. And that which cometh into your mind shall not be at all that you say, we will be as the heathen, as the families of the countries to serve wood and stone. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out will I rule over you. And I will bring you out from the people and will gather you out of the countries wherein you are scattered, with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face, like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt. So will I plead with you, saith the Lord God. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, which is a euphemism for being judged. And I will bring you into the bond of the covenant, and I will purge out from among you the rebels, and them that transgress against me. And I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn. And they shall not enter into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord. As for you, O house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, go ye, serve everyone his idols, and hereafter also, if you will not hearken unto me. But pollute ye my holy name no more with your gifts and with your idols. For in my holy mountain, in the mountain of the height of Israel, saith the Lord God, there shall all the house of Israel, all of them in the land, serve me. There will I accept them, and there will I require of your offerings and the first fruits of your oblations with all your holy things. I will accept you with your sweet savor when I bring you out from the people and gather you out of the countries wherein you have been scattered. And I will be sanctified in you before the heathen. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I shall bring you into the land of Israel, into the country for which I lifted up my hand to give it to your fathers. And there shall you remember your ways and all your doings wherein you have been defiled. And you shall loathe yourself in your own sight for all your evils that you have committed. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have wrought with you for my name's sake, not according to your wicked ways, nor according to your corrupt doings. O you house of Israel, saith the Lord God. Last demonstration of God's love. He promises to deliver and rule over them in a distant generation. This generation is going into captivity. But there's coming a time when God will gather his people out of the captivity, which is yet to take place. Israel will once again be scattered. And God will draw them out of the four corners of the earth back to Israel. They will be judged in tribulation times. And God will rule over them. And Zechariah tells us that they will look upon the one whom they've pierced and mourn. They will recognize who he is. And finally, their heart will be turned toward him. Finally. God says, I'm not going to do it now, but I will never, ever give up on my love for Israel. Three things that we can learn from this passage tonight. Number one, sin always has its consequence, but it can never frustrate the love of God. Isn't that good? Lord, why do you love me? I mean, the other day I sinned and I confessed it and I thought, okay, we got this taken care of. And then again, just the other day, I found myself back at your throne of grace looking for mercy. And you still love me. And if I do it again tomorrow, which I hope I won't, but I just might, because I know my weakness and you know me even better, you'll still love me. How great the love of God. Never can be frustrated. Secondly, sin always has its consequence, but it can never annul the promises of God. I will never leave you, nor even when we mess up. As I said this morning, it can divide fellowship, but it can never separate relationship. Big difference. Thirdly, sin always has its consequence, but it can never ruin the plan of God. From the very beginning of time, in fact, even before the very beginning of time, God had a plan for the world. He's been working it every day. Does God wake up any morning? Of course, God doesn't wake up any morning, but if God would wake up in the morning and read the headlines in the newspaper, would he ever say, oops, I never saw that coming? What a surprise! God is never surprised. He's always working his plan, even when we don't see it. Why? Because God so loved the world. You look at Augustine. Here's a God all messed up. And God was working his plan. It took him 30 years for Augustine to come to Christ, but God was working his plan. Look at Saul of Tarsus. God was working his plan. He's always working his plans toward us. Question number four of your quiz. In light of the grandeur of God's love for us, how should we respond in our worship of him? And if you don't have an answer for this question, you truly have not been listening, and you are without a clue. Think about it. Let's pray. Father, oh, the great, great love of God. I am so thankful that God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ would die for us. I am so thankful that God so loved the world. I am so thankful for the promises of God that come from a heart of love that keep me day in and day out. And Lord, we praise you tonight for all these good gifts. May we respond out of a heart of obedience and show our love for you, for all the greatness of your mercy and grace to us. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good week.